Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, this morning, we'll read from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 6. Which, where shall we read from? Okay. Let's see, we will read from Canto 6, chapter 10, I think. Let's check here. Chapter 11. Canto 6, chapter 11. The transcendental qualities of Ritrasura. And let us see. Pumsam kilaikanta diyam swakanam yasampado divi bhumo rasayam narati yadvesha udvega adyar mada kalir vyasanam samprayasa. Translation. Persons who fully surrender at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always think of his lotus feet, are accepted and recognized by the Lord as his own personal assistants or servants. The Lord never bestows upon such servants the brilliant opulences of the upper, lower, and middle planetary systems of this material world. When one possesses material opulence in any of these three divisions of the universe, his possessions naturally increases enmity, anxiety, mental agitation, pride, and belligerence. Thus, one goes through much endeavor to increase and maintain his possessions, and he suffers great unhappiness when he loses them. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita 4.11, the Lord says, Ye yatamam prapajante tamstataiva bhajamyaham mamavartmanuvartante manusyapatha sarvasha. As devotees surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. Both Indra and Ritrasura were certainly devotees of the Lord, although Indra took instructions from Vishnu to kill Ritrasura. The Lord was actually more favorable to Ritrasura, because after being killed by Indra's thunderbolt, Ritrasura would go back to Godhead, whereas the victorious Indra would rot in this material world. Hare Krishna. You understand this word, rot? Yeah? Because both of them were devotees, the Lord awarded them the respective benedictions they wanted. Vritrasura never wanted material possessions, for he knew very well the nature of such possessions. To accumulate material possessions, one must labor very hard, and when he gets them, he creates many enemies, because this material world is always full of rivalry. If one becomes rich, his friends or relatives are envious. Four Akunta Bhaktas, unalloyed devotees. Krishna therefore never provides material possessions. A devotee sometimes needs some material possessions for preaching, but the possessions of a preacher are not like those of a karmi. A karmi's possessions are achieved as a result of karma, but those of a devotee are arranged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead just to facilitate his devotional activities. Because a devotee never uses material possessions for any purpose other than the service of the Lord, the possessions of a devotee are not to be compared to those of a karmi. Pumsan kilai kanta diyan sukhanam ya sampado divi bhuvarasayam nayati narati yad dvesha udvega adya madha kalya vyasanam samprayasa. Persons who fully surrender at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always think of his lotus feet are accepted and recognized by the Lord as his own personal assistants or servants. The Lord never bestows upon such servants the brilliant opulences of the upper, lower, and middle planetary systems of this material world. When one possesses material opulence in any of these three divisions of the universe, his possessions naturally increases enmity, anxiety, mental agitation, pride, and belligerence. Thus, one goes through much endeavor to increase and maintain his possessions, and he suffers great unhappiness when he loses them. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Vastyutya Deshtarane Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpacharibhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitavra Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Yes, so we're coming to the... the later part, I suppose. Yeah. Later part of the story of Vritrasura, which is very... extraordinary story in Srimad Bhagavatam, which illustrates a number of very important, very essential points. And oh yeah, it's very amazing that Vritrasura, in his previous life, he was Chitraketu, and Chitraketu was a great devotee. But, it is a long story, but Chitraketu was cursed by Parvati, Durga, the wife of Lord Shiva, because Chitraketu was flying around the universe in his airship, and he flew past Mount Kailash, place of Lord Shiva, and he went to have a look. There was Lord Shiva addressing a group of sannyasis, preaching, giving a class. But he was in a very unusual position. He He was sitting there giving class to the sannyasis. On his lap was sitting his wife, Parvati. And, well, this is just really, at least shall we say, extremely unusual or unheard of, really, for someone who is speaking on the absolute truth to an audience, particularly an audience like that, but particularly any audience. Some affection between husband and wife is, of course, natural and understandable, and hopefully it will be there. But not to be displayed, particularly in such a situation, it's just really, you know, by normal standards, you could say it would be considered very poor taste. And Chichiketu, as he came flying in and saw the situation, he was astonished and he laughed. And Parvati saw him laugh, everyone saw him laugh, and Parvati, the wife of Lord Shiva sitting on his lap, she cursed Chichiketu. "You become a demon." Yes, and he did, and he became Vritrasura, more or less, practically on the spot. He, very, very shortly afterwards at least, he changed. So, amazing situation. And of course, we can understand how Parvati would have been upset, and even very upset. Our acharyas and Srila Prabhupada give some explanations why Chichiketu may actually have not been laughing at Lord Shiva, because Chichiketu, he's such an exalted devotee. He's no ordinary devotee at all. He had personally met the Supreme Personality of Godhead and spoken with him face to face. Not many of us can claim to have been given that mercy. Sure. But he was so advanced that this had happened with him. So he was not just some ordinary devotee or some aspiring devotee who's just trying to be a devotee and trying to stop being a non-devotee, that sort of person. He was really up there on a very exalted level. And naturally he knew that Lord Shiva was also a very exalted devotee, of course. Vaishnavana Mitara Shambhu. So, our acharyas recommend to us, don't just immediately think, just assume that Chichiketu is just laughing at Lord Shiva like, "Look at you, you're a bit of a fool. How could you do such a poor standard of thing in this sort of company? Come on, you must do better." So, Chichiketu, being an exalted devotee, was well aware that Lord Shiva was a very exalted devotee. So our acharyas present different suggestions of why he may have been laughing, which with nothing to do with thinking that Lord Shiva looks silly or something along those lines. For example, one, I think it's Srila Prabhupada, but anyway, one of our acharyas, he suggests that Chichiketu, seeing this scene and being very aware that Lord Shiva is completely transcendental and very exalted and always worthy of worship, Chichiketu, knowing that very clearly, but then seeing the scene may have thought, oh Lord Shiva, what a great devotee. What an amazing devotee. But, what are the stupid non-devotees going to think? Oh, if they see this scene, if they hear about this, what are those non-devotees going to say? They're going to say some utter rubbish. Oh, and then he may have laughed. These non-devotees are just so hopeless. And he may have laughed. So this is one suggestion, and there are actually a few suggestions made as to why Chichikeda may have laughed, with nothing to do with this idea that maybe Lord Shiva should be laughed at, or deserves to be laughed at, or is doing something improper. It's very interesting. So this possibility that Maharaj Chichikeda may not have been in a frivolous state of mind, some whimsical state of mind, some sarcastic state of mind, like, look at him. What does he think he's doing? The fact that he was not in some very, like, typically bad type of consciousness is borne out by how Chichikeda then reacts upon being cursed. Because it all happens within seconds or a very brief period of time, that he laughs, then he's cursed, then he comes down and he understands he's cursed, and then he reacts. So Chichikeda, when he became aware just immediately afterwards that he had been cursed to become a demon, then he reacted in a way which would be typical for a very, very, very elevated devotee who is in a very elevated state of consciousness. He didn't collapse on the ground at the feet of Parvati and start begging her, please save me, please free me from the curse, I didn't mean it, I will be more careful next time, or something of that sort. Actually, he didn't say anything. He didn't really say anything. He just accepted the curse. And Lord Shiva spoke a very famous verse to Parvati as Chichikeda was now leaving, having accepted the curse completely. Lord Shiva speaks very famous Bhagavatam verse, Narayana Parasarve Nakutaschama Bibhuti Swarga Pavarga Narakeshu Apituliyata Darshanam. This is a very good verse to learn. And it means that he is saying to Durga, oh my dear wife, just see how amazing are the devotees of Lord Narayana. Whether Swarga, Apavarga, Narakeshu, Apituliyarta Darshana, whether they're sent to the heavenly planets, whether they're given liberation, or whether they're sent to hell, it makes no difference to them. They're just completely fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. So just see Durga Devi having been cursed extremely heavily by you, just see how this Chichiketu's reacting. And in this way, Parvati, understand that it was wrong of you to curse him. You should not have cursed him. What Parvati did was something like, as they say in the Western movies, shoot first, ask questions later. Dead men tell no tales. So, or as they did in England previously, when they found some person, usually a woman, but anyway, whoever, who they thought might be a witch, putting some spells on people and doing some nasty things, mystical nasty things, then they would one thing they do was burn her at the stake. And if she died, then they would know she wasn't really a witch. So it's okay. Sorry. Better luck next lifetime. But of course they didn't accept her a next lifetime. Or they would put her on a, what they call a dunking stool. Means a chair with rocks on the bottom of it, attached to the bottom. And somehow they'd have a place for lowering it into a body of water, like a, at the bottom of a waterfall where there's steeper sides and it goes deep. And they dunk her for some time and bring her out after a couple of minutes. And if she survived for, say, 5 or 10 minutes, then they would know, aha, she's a witch. And they'd kill her. Because no human can stay alive like that. And if she died, then they would know, ah, she was not a witch, she was okay. So, and again, she was dead, so tough luck. Infallible justice. So yeah, shoot first, ask questions later. So actually Lord Shiva corrected Durga, but he did not have her withdraw the curse. Similar situation is there, as you may know. We were discussing, I think, was it in Flag, about Maharaj Parikshit and how he got cursed. Yeah, that was Flag. He got cursed by Sringi. For something which was not worth being cursed for. It was actually the arrangement of the Lord that Naraj Preacher became very hungry and thirsty, arrived at the ashram of Sringi's father, Shamaka Rishi. Shamaka Rishi was in meditational trance and was oblivious to the presence of Maharaj Parikshit, so therefore didn't receive Maharaj Parikshit, who was very hungry and thirsty. So in a fit of anger, Maharaj Parikshit found the skin of a snake, because snakes, every so often, they reject their skin. And you can find, we were there in, do you remember, what's the place called? After Purnamasi Gufa, do you remember? We went through the fields to the place where it was completely dry. What was that one? Anyway, that one. A nice place, but the kund was dry. Anyway, that place. So someone found the skin of a snake. Did you see it? At that place. Yeah, not a big snake, like a meter. So Maharaj Parikshit found such a rejected skin of a bigger snake, and wrapped it around the neck of Shamaka Rishi and went. And then Shringi cursed Maharaj Parikshit to die, which is a bit of an overreaction. So anyway, Shamaka Rishi came when he found out. He came and he met with Maharaj Parikshit and said, this is the situation. If you like, I can withdraw the curse. And Maharaj Parikshit said, no, don't do that, because I take it as the will of the Lord. He's calling me to him. Me, I'm such a person, I'm so materially attached that the Lord thought, this person is so hopeless, all I can do to help him is kill him. And then he'll get the message, wow, I'm going to die, I better get serious. This is how Maharaj Parikshit felt. And sure enough, he died. Yeah, and in this way Bhagavatam was spoken. Plus, we see the character of Maharaj Parikshit. Here, this is also, it's the arrangement of the Lord. And we see, as the story unfolds, we'll see the character of Vritrasura, who was Chichiketa. What an amazing person he is. That Chichiketu, being cursed, he became Vritrasura. And Vritrasura, he was a really serious demon. Now you can have your King Kong, you can have your Godzilla, or whatever. Vritrasura, he was far worse than them. Whoa. But he was a devotee. Externally looked like a demon. He really looked like a horrible, ghastly demon. But actually, he was a pure devotee. Not just some devotee, you know, one of the gang from Radhika Lokananda temple. Yeah, one of the devotees. Yeah, sure, I know him. I know her. He was a pure devotee, exalted pure devotee. And it's a long story, but eventually this fight developed between him and Lord Indra. This is where we're at right now. The fight is just sort of unfolding. And Vritrasura knows he is going to be killed, he is going to lose. But he is going to lose in complete Krishna consciousness, as we'll read the following verses. And even though he'll lose and he'll be killed, and Indra will become the celebrated victor, but, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, the one who will really get the mercy is Vritrasura. Because Indra will stay and at least to some degree sometimes rot in this material world. From time to time he'll get confused, get mixed up, get into some nonsense and get into some real problems in this material world, while at the same time Vritrasura will be in Goloka Vrindavan, or at least in Vaikuntha. So who got the mercy? Indra, who won the fight, or Vritrasura, who went back to Godhead? Prabhupada explains it was certainly Vritrasura. Like, for example, there's a very interesting discussion about Jai and Vijay and the four Kumars. Who got the mercy? Or not just who got the mercy, but who was more dear to the Lord? Who was the Lord more concerned about and like that? Because I think you all know the story. The four Kumars arrived at the gates of Vaikuntha, having come from the material world, And they met Jai and Vijay, who were the guards. And Jai and Vijay somehow thought that, what are these children doing here? You know, Vaikuntha, this is a place for serious devotees. This is not a place for little kiddies, little children. So in rather smug ways, kind of arrogant and looking down their noses, they told the four commanders that, what are you doing here? You go away. This is not for you. And the four commanders cursed them. Actually, they cursed them just to fall down into material existence. Although immediately after, the Lord came on the scene and he modified the curse. That you can choose either three births as demons or seven births as devotees. And Jai and Vijay, in order to come back quicker, they chose three births as demons. Which an interesting point is, Jiva Goswami points out. This indicates that Jai and Vijay have Sa-Lokya Mukti. They have that particular form of Vaishnav liberation, of living on the same planet as the Lord and being extremely happy because they're living on the same planet of the Lord, and they know that it's all because they're on the same planet as the Lord in his company. So because they have that type of liberation, and because they're just so much into being with the Lord personally, they chose the option which would get them back the quickest, three births as opposed to seven. Whereas more advanced devotees might have thought, well, let's be devotees and let's take seven births and just relish seven births as devotees and then come back. Okay, so anyway, Jiva Goswami in, what is it, Preeti Sandarbha, I think, or Bhakti, one of the two, he raises the question, who did Lord Narayan feel more merciful towards? The four Kumars, because he became upset, the Lord became upset that they had been offended and made sure that Jai and Vijay, the offenders, that they were punished? Was the Lord more inclined towards Jai and Vijay, or was he more inclined towards the four Kumar? I mean, the... What did I say? Either was it the four Kumars who, you know, he sort of protected them and punished Jai and Vijay for offending them? Or was he more kind to Jai and Vijay for letting them be cursed and arranging that they go to the material world? What do you think? Who was he more kindly disposed towards? And the answer is Jai and Vijay. Because he allowed them to become corrected, punished for their betterment, so they could come back refreshed from their little sojourn, just three lifetimes in the material world. As opposed to the four Kumars, who were fairly arrogant and cursed, and they cursed people who they knew were devotees, and they cursed people who they knew that even though they may have been somewhat mistaken, but still all they were trying to do was do their service to the Lord. A very difficult service, actually, being a guard and seeing who should come and who shouldn't come. Sometimes it may be very difficult to decide. So was it right then for Jayan Vijay just to be cursed? And the initial curse of the four kalas was completely open-ended. Not three versus demons or sevenless devotees. It was just go to the material world. See you later. Become demons. So it was, they were not in a very nice consciousness, actually. But the Lord, seeing that, and seeing that they were not so sort of ready for correction, he didn't try to correct them. But Jayan Vijay, because they're his associates, and they're trying to serve him and help him doing this difficult service, and because they're more humble and more sincere, ultimately, at least at heart, even though they got a bit upset there, but they're more dear to the Lord, so the Lord gave them all mercy, that you become corrected, you become better devotees, and you come back. So here, similar situation. Vritrasura will really get the mercy, although, you know, on a certain level, it looks like Indra will get the mercy because he'll become the winner. He'll defeat Vritrasura. Congratulations, Indra. And Indra is the loser. He'll be dead. But he'll be back in Goloka Vrindavan, or at least Vaikuntha. And that is just such incomparable mercy. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions from you thoughtful devotees? Are they thoughtful devotees, Mataji Satyavan? Would you say? Sometimes? Sometimes always? Sometimes. Okay. Well, yeah, we know they've got a little way to go, but they're trying. That we appreciate. Yes, the Dharam Prabhu.
So we learn from these examples that you gave that the Lord make arrangement to save his devotees. Sometimes in a very awkward situation, that it is difficult for us to understand.
Right.
But is it actually now, in our life, is it going on like this also now?
Today.
Today.
What's the date today?
I mean, in actual life.
I'm not asking you a question.
But today
is the 18th.
18th.
Yes. Today, on the 18th of December 2014, at 8:38 yes. and 42 seconds in Bobasan, Maurice, yes. It is happening. It's really happening. You know, we are prone to be a little slower, you know, to figure out, oh, maybe Krishna's trying to help me. Gee whiz. Didn't realize it for the last 3 months. But yes, in other words, yes. But we're not on the level of Vritrasura yet. Neither are we on, or Chitraketu say, neither are we on the level of Jayan Vijay or these people. So therefore, our case histories, the story of Vidura Das from Bobasan, yeah, will probably not appear in Srimad Bhagavatam. But don't worry, different things will happen. Oh yes, and are happening, and have happened. Yes.
much. Question? Like, we see from this story of Jain Vijay and the four Kumaras, in their own way, they were all devotees. Jain Vijay were liberated devotees already in Vaikuntha, yeah. And the four Kumaras were also
liberated. Same thing, yeah.
Personalities. And some misunderstanding happened.
Right.
Maybe that was the will of the Lord also.
Right.
For future pastimes.
Right.
But in actual life, like we do have this question also,
right.
Is it happening today? We also see that in the community of devotees, there are,
things happen.
Things happen between devotees. Misunderstandings and sometimes bickering, squabbles.
Sure.
And there's a general tendency, I won't say general tendency, but it also happens that other devotees, when two devotees start fighting, they take sides. They tend to support one,
right.
Say the other one is right, the other person is wrong. So how should the other devotee, who's outside this situation, or relate to those two devotees who are trying to make the situation?
That is discussed, you could say, or Vrindavanas Thakur at least talks about it in Chaitanya Bhagavat, that when you see two devotees fighting, you should understand it's some will of the Lord and not take sides. Not really involve yourself. You can involve yourself to try and help them, but taking sides is not a form of helping them. Yeah. Yes. So, but one can try to help them by trying to pacify them. Well, in this you'd say the usual ways, trying to help each other to see each other's point of view and, find a solution. But we should definitely not take sides. And neither should we get too involved. Yeah. In other words, if they're determined to fight, then we shouldn't get too involved. Because it's not really our business. And they, then it would be more up to the authorities. If you happen to be one of the authorities, well, then there's definitely much more responsibility to help pacify them. Yeah. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada King.